I'm new there.
There you go. That's it. Yeah. All right. That's God damn
unintelligible. That's the one word for it.
All right, folks, we're going to get this one started.
Have you pushed record?
Yes, it's been recording for the last 7 minutes. Welcome to another edition of the Nomide Podcast. My name is Mitch Maxine. Any comments or questions to the Nomide Podcast Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, or an email to nomidepodcast2021@gmail.com. 2021.
Wow. Jesus.
Anyway, all right, guys, let's get this one going. Let's walk around the table, say hi to everybody. Lenny, how you doing, brother?
Oh, good, all good. Sorry about the sound quality tonight. I don't know what the story is, but maybe it's the internet where I am. But good to be back. We've missed you guys.
Considering how hard it is to get you to commit to a date to do these podcasts, I doubt that you miss us all that much.
I do miss it. Just a busy man. I work a lot.
Rick, how are you, brother?
I'm good. Good to be back. So I'm looking at these things we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm started thinking, oh, there won't be much to talk about, but I figure we'll get something to talk about them through them. So,
yeah,
good to hear from everybody again, and glad you guys are not busy tonight.
I'm sure it'll generate a little conversation. Bob,
oh yeah,
how you doing, man?
Yeah, good. I hope everybody's well. I'm glad to be back. It's been quite a while, right? Since the last time.
It's been a few weeks.
Sure,
it's been more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, and in the last week, I had a case of food poisoning. I don't know if anybody's been through that recently, but yeah, it was bad. And I was lying there on my deathbed. I was fighting back for life, and I was clawing my way back, and I knew down in my gut I had to get back on this podcast so I could argue with Lenny.
Well, I'll thanks, give you Lenny. Something to live for.
You gave me back my reason.
I'm glad
to live,
I inspired
Lenny.
You.
You're the wind beneath his wings, Lenny.
I know where to get him the food poisoning.
Underwear.
And Darren, how are you, Darren?
I'm just fucking happy to be here, man. I'm just raring to go.
All right, folks, and no one ever asks how I am, but I'm just fine. Everything's great. Honestly, who cares? No, it's good to be back. I miss doing these a little more often. So, let's get going on tonight's topics. We've got it broken down into two sections, and I've got a couple of backup topics in case this doesn't generate.
Oh, yeah, because that never happens.
Because you always struggle.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, the first one, for the folks who are listening, Lenny was sent an email out of the blue. Basically, from what I... You know what? I'm going to let Lenny explain what this is about he's the one who got the email. So
I better read it.
Go ahead. What the hell's going on with this webpage? What's up?
I don't even know how my email address ended up because I didn't subscribe to anything. I remember we had something vaguely similar to this a couple of years ago on the podcast, but basically, my dojo email page.
Can you describe it? Audience.
Basically,
knows?
it's an email from the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation. Again, opposite side of the Atlantic to me. It's calling all martial artists with 50+ years of experience, and it basically is labeling them as legends, and it want to feature them in a martial arts extraordinaire, the 50th year tribute book, volume 2, mind you, which is honoring the incredible legacy of Guru Dan Inosanto and other distinguished martial artists who've dedicated 50 years or more to martial arts. And basically it wants you to it's calling you a contributing author, so it wants you to nominate somebody or indeed share your story, if it's you, or share their story, their legacy, and life lessons with the world. And it's going to be published in a book. And it's basically looking for you to submit your nomination of the Who's Who in Martial Arts of 50 years and plus. And you can pre-order your copy.
Now, just to give a little bit of context, the one we talked about a couple of years ago, the difference between that one and this one, it was financially based. You could submit your biography with a certain amount of money to get into the book. This one, I've looked through the webpage pretty extensively, and I can't find anything in there that has a financial.
But they are inviting you. Sorry, Mitch. They're inviting you at the bottom of that to come to the Legacy Weekend, celebrating the Martial Arts Athletic Club, and they're hosting it for a weekend.
That'll be
August.
Free.
It's in Las Vegas. It's in Las Vegas. Are we going?
They're very charitable people down there.
Yeah, Las Vegas isn't in it for the money. Come on. All right, I'll tell you what, guys. Let's do this. Let's go around the table. I hope everyone had a chance to have a quick peek at this webpage. Let's go around the table and just see what everybody's impressions of this might be. Let's start with Rick.
Crickets, man. I don't know. What would the point of being in that? If you look at any of the people there, it's all from over the States, and, I mean, they're making a big thing out of being 50 years. I mean, 50 years means you just didn't stop working out, really, so... Because, I don't know, it doesn't appeal to me at all.
Bob, what do you think?
I don't know. I have to differ a little bit from Rick, I think. I think it's laudable if, people try to pay tribute to genuine contributors to the whole shebang. A genuine contributor, by that I mean... legitimate. You know, we've been arguing every episode about what constitutes a legitimate and an illegitimate thing in the martial arts, and I do applaud the idea of getting together in a book and look at all these guys who lasted so long and contributed so much. Now, then the devil's in the details when you start describing, you know, what they contributed and how valid that is, etc. But the idea itself, I think, is harmless, and I really sympathize with an old guy trying to get all other old guys validated in this world and putting them into a book, that's all.
Darren?
I'm completely with Bob on that. I think, like, in every other sport and other things, you've got football Hall of Fame, and you've got all these hockey Hall of Fames and stuff like that, and you don't really have anything in, say, karate or martial arts. You have a UFC Hall of Fame, but that's only for UFC people that are celebrities. I think it's kind of okay to recognize people that they aren't celebrities, they weren't in it for fame, they weren't in it for money, they were just in it for learning, tradition, training, and all that sort of stuff, and to be recognized for that, I think, as Bob said, it's laudable. And okay, we're going to read about a lot of people that we've never heard of. Well, I won't buy the book, so it's nothing to me. But I think for anybody that's interested in that kind of thing, until that book came out, there might have been nothing there for them to read about or get interested in. And so for me, for people that are interested in that, I think that's a good thing. If we're not interested in it, we don't have to buy the book. But for people that do like that shit, I think it's good.
I think it's a really interesting personality test to go around to elder black belts and ask them if they would want to be in that book.
Well, we'll get to that. There's a talking point just a little bit later that kind of touches on that. Lena, if you don't mind, I'm going to throw my two cents in, and then since you brought this whole nonsense upon us, you can have the last word.
You're so kind.
The whole thing makes me nauseous, and unfortunately, I can't figure out why. It just rubs me the wrong way. It just seems so self-congratulatory. I just don't get it. I'm sorry, and maybe someone can help me, because look, I'm not crossing my arms and drawing a line in the sand and saying this is bullshit and fuck it, it's wrong and blah blah blah. I'm saying I don't get it, and it's kind of rubbing me the wrong way just on its face. It smacks of vanity, and it smacks of self-congratulatory importance, and I always have a problem with that. So I'm kind of trying, I'm honestly struggling to find out or to figure out where I sit in terms of how I feel about this. I mean, look, does it change my life one way or the other? Absolutely not. I'm not going to buy the book and blah, 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 and that's that. But philosophically speaking, it just seems to be a bunch of people blowing their own horns for the sake of having their horns blown, so to speak. Bob, you're going to say
just one point. Mitch, if there was a perfectly factual spreadsheet laid out of your career and where you were and what you taught and what style, and that was put in a book just merely as a list, sort of like a census, you wouldn't have a problem with that.
I don't see the point of that.
No, but look, let's say, you know, how the MMA, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guys, they're all, they figure lineage is very important. They need to know who your teacher was and what his teacher was and all that.
Right, which I...
And what about that sort of mindset?
I don't buy into that either. I don't care who your teacher was. I don't care what your lineage is. What I care about are your thoughts.
I'm asking about giving the information to someone who's interested. Not
Bob, if it was just a list and not this, as Lenny was saying, this weekend, legacy weekend in Las Vegas. I mean, the legacy weekend in Las Vegas automatically starts putting it into what Mitch was saying, this self-grandiose stuff where you're going, oh, look at me, I want my picture in there.
It's very likely, but we can't say for sure.
Okay, well, true. The other book was. The book one was very much, and you had to pay to get into it.
But we're not discussing that book.
Right.
My attitude is still a little bit tainted by the fact of that other book, though.
But let's understand something about this book. Even though, look, only a fool would think that this book was being produced altruistically. No one is going, oh, I don't care about how much money I make. I'm just going to put this out because it's good
information. Well, that's the difference. If they have a bad attitude about it, it's wrong. If they have a good attitude, it's right. And that's all there is.
See, the other thing I was going to ask you, Mitch, like, if it wasn't martial arts, and I don't know what you're interested in, and I'm not interested in much anymore, but I remember in my younger days, you know, you'd read music magazines or whatever sport you're into, you read those magazines because you're interested in the people, in the celebrities, in their background, and all that sort of stuff. You're just not interested in that.
Carry on, Darren. Didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, so I was just thinking, if there was something that you followed that you were interested in, you'd probably be okay with that.
The thing, you're absolutely right, and Darren hit the nail on the head in terms of why I have an issue with this. I don't give a shit about the background and the history and the lineage of anybody. What I care about is what they think and what they can do or what they were able to do in their younger days. I don't care. Like, I watch a lot of videos, shocking, I know, and every now and then a video will come across my feed and, hey, here's some behind-the-scenes information about this person, and I just pass them by because I couldn't care less. In martial arts related, I would love the book more if it was a collection of ideas and a collection of discussions about the martial arts. Glorifying, if there's something in the martial arts that should be glorified, it should be the ideas of the people, not the people themselves.
Maybe this book is full of ideas. It's just an assumption that it's going to be a crappy, and probably a good assumption.
The thing
but
is,
still,
looking through the website, here's the person you want to nominate, and here's their lineage, and here's this and that and the other thing, and I didn't see a lot of room to input information about the thought processes, the ideas,
Can I come in on that, Mitch?
Please do, Len.
Yeah, I just out of pure curiosity, I went through the whole clicking on windows on it, and it actually came to the nomination window.
Did you nominate me, Len?
I didn't nominate you, no.
No,
I wouldn't waste my fucking time on that. I put some fucking worthwhile in it.
Zing!
See? You gotta be
worthwhile.
Takes
one to the ego. Nice. Anyway,
no, I'm only messing. But when you click into it...
Oh, you did nominate me. Oh, nice.
When you click into it, there's a drop-down menu of tons and tons of stuff. And it's not just who's 50 years in. There's everything from children's nominations up to, you know, someone's 50 years, someone's 40 years, someone's 60 years, someone's international instructors, this, that, the other. And it gives you a paragraph of why do you feel this person should be recognized. So there is a bit of leeway to go in. And, I mean, the person who's nominated, it's somebody, like, you have the likes of Darren's father who's involved, 40, 50 years, I'd imagine, if you in total, they're both more or less.
Oh, way more.
More than that.
So, I mean,
60 years by now.
I'm sure if that email fell into a lot of people's laps, they said, oh, we got to nominate Sensei Bell. And it seems to be a lot of what they're looking for in the book is talking. They wanted to interest in people's journey from white belt to black belt and challenges they met along the way. It doesn't seem to be too much of a massage ego and thing. It's just basically a little history of somebody. And they might be honest with you, there's not a lot of people knocking around 50 years in martial arts and that still have an input into it. That I don't think it's any harm. There's if you just read yeah, you don't need any harm reading the story of where they came from. And you might say, geez, that's interesting, we have close links to there or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
So from that point of view, you know, yeah, unless if you get people going nominating themselves, going, I'm fucking brilliant, I'm going to nominate me. That's
I'm
different.
Fucking brilliant.
You know, so I don't see the harm. I think it could be interesting to certain people and other people that hate it. Which you said yourself, you're not for it. And then Bob and Darren can, you know, it's an interesting concept.
Yeah. Bob, before you jump in, let me answer Lenny, and then we'll go to Bob after that.
Wait, I got to remember what. Oh God, okay.
Well, write it down.
That's my strategy. That I figure if we put Bob off, he'll forget what he was going to say. Anyway, just to speak to what Lenny was talking about, you're right. There's no harm in this, I guess. As long as everybody remembers that the only reason this book is being put together, not the only reason, but certainly one of, like, no one's going to do this and not make money off of it. Like, no one's going to come up with this kind of idea and go, oh, it's fine if I don't make any money, I'll foot the bill. Like, nobody's saying that. There is at the base of this a financial aspect, and I think it's naive to think that there isn't. Having said that, I guess it's harmless enough, I suppose. I just hate the idea of somebody reading their name in this book and feeling their chest start to puff out, and it's just, again, it just smacks to me of ego and vanity, and I hold so dearly the notion that humility is supposed to be at the foundation of our training, and I cling to that desperately, and this sort of thing does not smack to me of humility. It smacks to me of vanity and self-importance. So look, does my life change one iota because this book exists or will exist? Absolutely not. Will I have anything to do with it, including buying it? Absolutely not. So I guess at the end of the day, it's just a thing. So
if you're giving a free copy of it, would you read it?
I gotta add, I gotta talk here. Please let me talk.
All right, Bob.
Give me the talking stick. All right, now follow me here and try not to go off on tangents or paragraphs.
As long as you can remember what you're going to say, I'll follow you.
Yes,
right
I did. Ha!
So go.
You, I don't know, a couple decades ago, hosted an event in tribute to Mark Bell.
Yes. Not only did I host it, it was largely my idea, and I drove it hard to make it happen. So, yes.
Right. Now, are you holding it against another person who was in that frame of mind when they decided to nominate their teacher for this book?
You're an asshole for making that analogy.
I'm sorry.
That's what this panel is supposed to be doing. Like, the,
I know. Yeah. I applaud the fact that he said it. I just have to think about that for a second.
Go stand in the corner in your wrongness and be wrong.
Yeah, I think I might just give me the wrong talking stick. Okay, look, I'm going to put it this way. I don't regret that happenstance 25 years ago or however long ago it was. I'm glad it happened. I think it should have happened. And I'm viscerally thrilled that it did happen. And this book still rubs me the wrong way. I think there's a difference between...
But, dude, you will grant that your attitude has changed in the intervening years.
Yes,
and
it
I'm
has.
Just saying, you know, but there are still some naive people out there who, you know, have
the thing
who,
is, Bob. You're right. My attitude obviously has changed in the last 25 years. But I will say this: within that change of attitude over the last 25 years, I do not regret on any level having had such a pivotal role in that event happening way back then. And if such an opportunity came up again, I would probably still applaud and be a part of it happening now. And I realize,
now wait a sec.
I realize that, the contradiction.
You weren't doing this out of charity. You didn't spend your own money. You charged admission. This was a money-making scam.
It was not. We lined our pockets with it.
I'm just saying that because somebody publishes a book doesn't mean they're in it for the money, or at least doesn't mean that they ought to be taken down.
I think that there is a ragingly large difference between a small local organization wanting to pay tribute to an individual and not making money off it, and this sort of endeavor, which is obviously a widely publicized and published book that costs a great deal of money to publish. Like, these things don't come cheap. Someone's got to pay for it, and I think it's naive to assume that the people who are paying for it are not expecting a financial return on their
investment. However, it's not naive, because you might have had someone like yourself when you put together that thing that you put together. There might be someone like that, or a group of someone's with the same kind of mentality, just on a larger scale, and they're trying to pay homage to a larger selection of people. Maybe they did something similar to you a while ago, and you thought, hey, what if we could do this for a lot of other people that don't get the recognition? Let's take nominations. Let's see where we can go with it. Now, obviously, they're going to charge for the book, and they're going to do things, but they might be just hoping to break even. And if they make a little bit of money, maybe it goes back into their own dojo. And lots of endeavors like that in the past have done it and didn't even break even. They lost money on it. But then when you're talking to people afterward, they go, here, I lost a lot of money on it, but it was such a great process. I'd do it all over again if I had the chance.
I have to concede that Darren might actually be right, and my cynicism might be getting the better of me. Because I don't have enough information on the foundation for this thing to honestly and fairly judge. I do tend to err on the side of the cynical, so maybe I'm
really?
Wrong. Yeah. Okay, no. Why don't you guys collectively fuck off, all right?
Hey, I didn't say anything.
But no, I have to admit, you're all... you're right. Maybe this is an altruistic endeavor. I don't have any evidence to the contrary. I have a lot of evidence that the human condition is horrendously greedy and not something to be proud of. And maybe this is an exception to that. So I think the best I can do is pull back my disgust to a level of neutrality. And say, I really do hope it is what Bob and Darren are posing that it might be, which is.
But you have a healthy skepticism.
But I have a healthy skepticism. I'll leave it at that. Okay. Okay. So there, that was my two cents. Lasted 45 minutes. Lenny, do you? Back to you. Do you have any comments? What would you like to say about this whole thing?
No, I thought I covered it there. I don't see the harm in it. Do you know what? There's some kind of morbid intrigue in me to see what the book would actually be like. Is it self gratification, or is it just an interest in?
That's a good
point. Is it just an interest in who's who of? Say, oh yeah, sure, he trained there for 50 years, and he taught this guy, and he went on and did this, and oh Christ!
I guess we'll have to wait for the New York Times review of books to come.
No, I'm fucking buying it.
No, I was about to say.
It's only $24.
I'm going to buy a copy of this thing. I'm going to buy a copy of it. I want to see...
Well, before you do, you've got a choice. Hardback, paperback, a digital copy for your iPad, or you can get just a PDF version for your phone. That's only $12.
Well, I'll tell you...
I didn't see them.
I'm not getting the paperback because the print would be too small for me to read at this point. So.
Yeah, you can get it for your phone for $12.95.
Right. I'm getting the PDF so I can blow it up nice and big can actually read it. But
coffee table book or something, or a table book? Do you just get something around it? A toilet book.
Paper
yeah, book. That too.
Toilet paper book.
Toilet paper. No, it's just a...
No, I do. I would have a genuine... curiosity to
me
see
too.
Because I've never really gone down the rabbit hole of buying books about this instructor, that instructor, the other. I would just be curious as to, is there anyone in there that we go, oh yeah, I don't know him.
Hey Mitch, I just thought of a new talking point for another episode, and that is books that you read about martial arts when you were younger and how that affected the way you were brought up.
Well, actually, we might go to that today, so let's just jot that down. Okay. Thank you, Bob, for that. I've written that down. I want to go around the table once with this question. this could be tricky. Do you know anyone that you would nominate? Now remember the parameters. It's got to be someone who's been in it 50 years or more. So do you know anyone that you personally would nominate for this book, Bob?
All right. Now, I'm sorry, but I would have to really, vet the theme of this, like, what's the purpose of this book? If the purpose was to simply lay out history, I would definitely be all for Mark Bell being, nominated for inclusion, but I don't see the harm, but I'm not going to put the blurb in. How about we leave it at that?
Fair enough. Rick?
It'd be same thing. Maybe Sensei, but I don't know if anyone else.
Well, nobody else has been in it for 50 years. Who the hell?
Guys. There's guys like, Monty Guess has been in it for easily that long.
Angie. We don't have a personal relationship with the guy.
Okay, but all I'm saying
is... you have to know, Bob.
Okay, so we've talked to Rick and we've talked to Bob. Lenny.
Do you know what? I'm struggling to find anyone here that I know is involved 50 years. My own instructor possibly may have been close on it, I'd say. Still is there. Purely because he's such a character who probably breaks the norms of traditional instructors. I think his story would be interesting for people to read.
another aspect to take in mind about all this is that, what constitutes 50 years
what
in the martial
fuck?
Arts? Is it you practiced or you taught for 20 years after learning for 10 years and then you sat on your ass for 20? I mean, or are you actively engaged in your martial arts community for 50 years?
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. Because I know personally a bunch of martial artists, or a bunch of people, I'm not going to go as far as to call them martial artists, who trained for a number of years, retired for easily twice the number of years that they trained for, and then walked back into a dojo with a black belt around their waist going, here I am again.
In a year, I'll be 50 years in the martial arts by that definition.
Exactly right. So that's a really, really good point. And another reason, never mind, I'm not going to get us going down the rabbit hole of rank again. This is a different conversation. Darren, is there anyone you know that you would nominate for that award or that inclusion in that book?
Before I actually get to that, I was just reading the thing again, and it actually says, share your story, legacy, and life lessons with the world. And it says, do you have over 50 years of martial arts experience? We want your story to be told in Martial Arts Extraordinaire. So it doesn't say anything about nominating anybody else. It looks like you're actually...
At the bottom of the website, it's a nomination process.
Yeah, it says
But I think it's nominating yourself.
It says, for what reason do you think this person should be considered?
I haven't
gone
into there.
The thing asks for your name and the nominee's name. They had asked for both.
That's fine. What I'm reading here is it says, do you have over 50 years of martial arts experience? We want your story to be told in the Martial Arts Extraordinaire 50-year tribute book. That's what it says right there. And it says, share your legacy and life lessons.
Just that phrase alone.
Share your legacy.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, that's weird. And then I'd have to go with Mitch on everything Mitch has said so far, just from reading that, I would have
That's just a sales pitch though, Darren, you know. If you told me and says, share how you got on for the last 50 years, there you go, bollocks to that. We just go, share your legacy, you know.
Youngsters, gather round.
Yeah. That's just a marketing pitch.
Oh, man.
It just dawned on me. Bob, how long did you train in karate for? Roughly.
I think I
give or
quit
take.
Around 30 years after.
Okay, how long did you dedicate to judo, kendo, and aikido?
More like 20 to 20. Well, kendo a year and a half, and yeah. The other two like 20.
Combined or together? Like that's saying you've got over 50 years in the martial arts, isn't that?
Oh, thing? There you go. Yeah. Hey, nice.
Yeah, you know, thanks, like Lenny. You could have
increasing my legacy. Thanks,
but you could have done five
different stronger, more lion.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you could have done five different disciplines and done 10 years apiece. It's still 50 years of martial arts.
All right, yeah. I could make that argument in my little blurb for self-nomination.
Your legacy, Bob.
You got it. Hey, wasn't there a guy named Legacy? Why didn't he?
Yeah, Sensei Legacy. Legacy. He's on another podcast.
Sorry, I'm just jotting down a talking point here. Okay, Darren, back to the original question. Is there anyone in your experience that... And we're just talking out of our ass here, but is there anyone in your experience that you might consider nominating for inclusion in that book?
Yeah, this is going to sound retarded.
Yes, yourself.
No, Jesus Christ. If there was a blacklist at the end of it or something, I'd throw my name in. And this is what not to do. But no, I probably throw my dad in there because you'd be trying to base it on like to me, it would be have to based on a whole general thing. It's not, you know, you take some of the guys we saw in tournaments back in the day, Billy Blanks and Ronnie James, Donnie James and stuff like that.
Donnie James, yeah.
That just won all kinds of tournaments and were all humble and everything. But am I nominating him for a legacy because he won a lot of tournaments and he was humble? Like I don't know much more about him. So, like what Bob said, is it's kind of have to be someone you know and relate to. Otherwise, you're just going by maybe a mystique or maybe someone that won tournaments or maybe someone you heard about. So, if you just go by your own experiences, then I'd probably say my dad just because, and not just like you're winning tournaments or something. It's just everything that involves, like getting the community involved, being involved with Big Brother, being involved with charity, it kind of holding tournaments in an area where tournaments just weren't held. So it was kind of a lot of shit that went on that I think is part of an overall kind of legacy, if you will. And then like when if I take people that I know, and this is where it gets tricky, just when Lenny's asking Bob about things, I always kind of looked up to Bob as being a true martial artist in MMA back in the day because he just wasn't doing karate. He expanded into a whole other world, opened up his own club, and did all kinds of things. And I would consider that as kind of a legacy, as something that's greater than the average person that just trains for 50 years. So there you go. Go Bob.
Aw. Ah, Darren, for fuck's sake. Stick that in your legacy.
Stick that up your legacy.
Hey, Mitch.
Stick that in your legacy and smoke it. Anyway, Bob, yeah, what?
All right. I don't mean this in any way. I'm just saying, like, if this circumstance happened around, how would you react? Let's say... a young boy in your class who really looks up to you, read something about this, got together an effort to nominate you without your knowledge, just did it, and then you found out about it. What would your reaction be?
Well, you've hit on exactly the next talking point, which is how would you feel if you were nominated? So since Bob kicked that particular cat in the ass, I'll take the first crack at it, and then we're going to go around the table.
Give
so
us that question again. I lost that. It broke for a second. I mean, apologies.
No,
what was the question?
The question is, how would you feel if you were nominated for inclusion in this book? Okay. So since Bob asked me the question, I'll take the first go at it. I desperately try to make sure that I don't dip my toes into the waters of self-importance. Like when we're at a tournament, if we go to a tournament and I'm lucky enough to take first, second, or third, when that happens, I go up, you do the thing where you bow and you get the medal around your neck and you walk back. I can't take that medal off fast enough. I refuse to be to have pictures taken of
dude,
him. Let me get
getting,
let, can you let me can you let me answer the question in my own
yeah.
way? Thank you very much. So if that were to happen, if someone were to nominate me for this sort of thing, I would consciously steel myself against reacting to it in any way. I would pretend it was a non-issue. And
would you wear the ring to present you with?
Do they actually give you a ring?
Yeah, if you make, I was just reading Marty, if you make the coach, you get presented with the...
No, see, now we're
in tonight. It's the honor, it's the who's who in martial arts, the honor and legacy ring. See,
now we're into the self-congratulatory side of it, and it's
not... Oh, it's not self, that's somebody else congratulating you.
You wearing the ring is you congratulating yourself.
Oh, yeah, okay, give you that, yeah, definitely.
Even just the nomination page, where, which is as far as I got... It says dedicated to masters and grandmasters with 50 or more years in the martial arts. This legacy pays homage to some of our great modern day masters and grandmasters who influenced current martial arts styles. Don't miss the opportunity to nominate your black belt martial arts hero who has 50 or more years in the martial arts for inclusion in this historical book.
The more I hear about this, the more it smacks of vanity. I honestly, I'd want to separate myself from it completely. So,
but what if someone thought highly enough of you, all your students sat down and say, "We've got to nominate Mitch. He's such a fucking great guy." That's not you being vain. That's them.
Me acknowledging it is me being vain.
But then you're insulting your students. So you say, "I don't give a shit what you guys think of me. I'm not taking this." You know,
exactly.
Yeah, there is exactly. such a thing as graciously accepting an award.
Yes, exactly.
How about if I graciously ignore it? Why can't I just be...
That's been rude.
I don't care. Sorry. I really don't.
Okay. Look, I like the way this is going because it separates the issues into what they essentially are. If the kids in the club got together and decided to throw a celebratory thing for your ability and what you've contributed to their lives.
Exactly what you did.
Shut it down? Would you shut it down?
Fuck.
Ah.
No, wait a second.
Go on, Bob!
Hang on a sec, because this touches on a couple of interesting points. I agree that for me to be completely dismissive of it would be insulting and probably hurtful toward the people who wanted to do it. On the other hand, I hate that sort of shit. When it applies, and yes, I know it's a double standard. I did it for someone else. I would do it again if the circumstance came around. But I want nothing to do with that when it applies to me, and I don't care about the double standard. Having said that, if it were to happen, I would have to give some serious thought to it, whether I would.
Can I jump in too? Because I remember that night. I remember being in the hotel room with my dad and Monty Guest, and my dad did not want to go down into that ballroom because he felt so kind of what you just described, how you would feel.
Now, this is interesting. Wait a second. You've touched on something that's interesting about Mark Bell that I have never heard before. Can you just pad that out a little bit?
Well, it was kind of what Mitch said. Like, he did not feel deserving of it. He felt out of place. He wasn't expecting it. He was embarrassed by it.
This is an entirely different slant on that entire event, and I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, and then if everybody remembers, his speech was pretty fucked up, but it was because he was so like out of place and awkward and embarrassed that he drank to overcompensate it, and then when it came time to him, he pretty much had to make a speech because everybody was there, and that went arse ways. But
I attributed all this to completely different mindset on his part. So maybe I've been wrong all these years.
No, there's no question. Like, Monty Guest literally had to talk him into coming down and attending this thing.
That's exactly
like,
it.
If Monty Guest hadn't have interceded, he would not have shown up for it. He would have gone home.
Okay, so Rick, let's assume you're nominated for this sort of thing. What would your reaction be?
Besides shock and surprise, I'd have to question why, because I don't know. Like I say, I've been in it for 50 years, but I don't think I've ever done anything that great. So why would I get nominated? It actually has been 50 years this year for me.
But let's assume you were nominated. Okay, so you're now in this book.
I would accept it, but I mean, I would just be, okay, I've been nominated and I've been in the book. So, okay, fine, that's great. And carry on. But that's all.
Fair enough. Bob.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. It's not silly because I'm out of the rat race. But if that were to happen, it would be as graciously as possible. I would accept and just express my gratitude as well as I could to the people who actually did something like that.
Yeah.
Darren, we'll go to Lenny last. Darren.
I think for me, whether it's the martial arts or music or just your everyday job, I don't take praise very well. I'm just not into it. It makes me awkward and I get embarrassed and everything. But there is something to be recognized for something that you work hard at doing, whether it's work or music or martial arts or anything like that. So it's like secretly, I want nothing to do with it. But if the nomination came in, I would be happy that something was recognized. I don't want part of it. I don't want to do any interviews or anything like that. But I think I would walk away feeling, Jesus, somebody saw something, because I did bust my ass in certain aspects and it touched somebody, and I appreciate that. So I don't want the accolades. I don't want my name in a book. But if a nomination came or somebody came up and said something, I would appreciate the fact that somebody took notice of something that I was passionate about, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah. Well, that's the only reason. That's the only way a teacher can get any sort of compensation.
That's what I was kind of thinking. Like,
that's the whole reason for doing it.
Wow. Okay, Len, your thoughts?
Very similar to Darren. I think I'd be very, I'd be taken aback and humbled, because at the end of the day, and I've preached this for so long and repeated it ad nauseum on this podcast over the years, that we're just passing through and we give our little piece to martial arts, and it's been there before us, and it'll be there afterwards. It's our job to hand it over, hopefully in a good state. We're just caretakers of the art until the next guy comes along. So I would find it very humbling that someone would think that much of me, because people have done it before me and people will do it after me. That why should I stand out more? But maybe it's just people think I'm a nice guy and they're wrong. But you know, I would be humbled. I've never sat comfortable with praise. I mean, if Vic and Kid brings me a Christmas card at the end of our Christmas term, and I'm kind of, oh, jeez, I get all embarrassed, shit like that. So I would find it very hard to deal with, you know, being called, handed a fucking legacy ring, or, you know, we have the distinguished privilege of being a 50-year legend. I would never, ever, ever consider myself a legend in anything. Maybe in bullshit, but, you know. But much the same as Darren, I would be very humbled. I'd feel very honoured that someone would think that much, that they would, you know, they could nominate me or for this. But after that,
hey, Mitch.
Yeah, let's move on and keep teaching. And hopefully leave the state, the art in as good a state as we would like it to be, that someone else might turn around 50 years and say, you know, nominate them.
Yeah.
Mitch, Bob, have we had this talking point? Lenny just brought up something, and that is something that a teacher has said to you that has affected you so deeply, and what is it? And have we done that? I
don't know. No, we haven't, but we might in the second half. Okay. Okay, guys, we're going to take a break. We're about an hour in.
Holy shit, that was quick.
I know, right? So let's run around the table once. Anybody wants to say about anything we've talked about in the first half of the podcast, and we'll take a break. Bob, any last comments about the whole Grandmaster book?
Absolutely none. I mean, I think we all said our piece, and you know, it's an uncomfortable topic. Like, it's vanity and you know, nominations and rewards and all that crap, which all of us are like just have an abhorrence for. But there you go. You know, it's fine. Goodbye,
Rick. Last comments.
I probably have to say that I've revised my attitude about it a little bit from what Bob and Darren and Lenny have said. especially when Darren was saying about the music business, because him and Lenny are in the music business, so they at some point after they've been doing it for 20 or 30 years, that you know, they might get recognition and get some award. Because I'm thinking back, I used to be a cub leader and a scout leader, and for 25 and 30 years you get these parchments, which is just simply a recognition of the fact that you've been a scout leader for 30 years. So you have a little ceremony and you get this parchment. Thinking of it in the same way, if you got included in this and that was the attitude of it, I'd probably go along with it then. Funny.
Lenny, last thoughts?
I think I've kind of covered it all. I mean, you know, the concept of it, we need to separate what's involved. We all went straight for it. Well, didn't all. There was a fine divide between, oh no, this is self-gratifying bullshit, and there was the whole, well, hang on a second, maybe somebody just wants to recognize you. I mean, that whole thing, it just asked for nominations of people who've been involved for 50 years. It didn't ask them to be any world greats or whatever. But then it's all marketed under the guise of, you know, your legacy, be a legend, this, that, and the other. Whereas I think there would be, I'd be interested to see who would make that book that might be from the humble side and who makes the book from the look at me side. So it's a tightrope. I do have a morbid curiosity about it. I don't abhor recognition, but I'm not comfortable with it.
Darren, last thought before we take a break.
Yeah, I think, like, my first impression is that we're overthinking all this. Somebody's writing a book. Like, I bought a UFC book one time, and it's an older one, so it all had, like, the older style people, and obviously they're going to have a second and third edition with all the newer people. And second and third editions come out, I'm not as interested as I was back in the day. But I was interested at one point. So I have to, even though my opinions now are different and I might think this whole book that we're talking about here is ridiculous, I do recognize that I was into that sort of thing in the past, which means there are obviously other people that are. So I just think we're a bit overthinking things and being on a bit of a moral high horse, thinking that just because we don't think it's good, we're just assuming that nobody else should either. But I think we've all kind of come around during this discussion to say, okay, it's about a live and let live. If somebody wants to read the book and somebody wants to start the book and somebody wants to give accolades for somebody and it makes them feel good, fuck. It's just some people that train in the martial arts, it's just to make them feel good. They're not trying to defend themselves or anything else. So if this book makes feel good, that's kind of what the martial arts are all about.
Okay, I'm gonna put out a quick story that kind of typifies my perspective on validation and accolades. Everybody wants validation. Everybody does. And there's nothing wrong with wanting that validation. I guess it's where that validation comes from that I have the issue with. And the quick story is about a decade ago. I can't remember the date, but I was still living very close to Mark Bell, like two blocks away from him. And I'd go over and visit him now and again. And he started talking about promoting us to our fourth degree black belts. And I said to him during a couple of these conversations, I said, look, if you believe that I am deserving of that, I'll absolutely accept it from you, because that's the level of validation that mattered to me. So present me with it privately. Just you and me, I will take it, and I will absolutely, you know, hold that close to my heart. And a few weeks later, that's exactly what happened. I was over at his apartment, and we'd been talking and drinking, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's why I did it. But anyway, he presented me with my fourth degree black belt certificate just before I left to go home. And it was very moving and very powerful. And then about a month later, it all got fucked up because we were at a tournament, and
you told this last week or the week before,
maybe. Yeah. But it's a relevant story. He brought it up on a public stage, and to me that invalidated the whole thing. I didn't want it to be public. I wanted it to be just between him and I. And then as soon as it became a public thing, it honestly soured me on the whole thing.
Did you ask him why he did it?
No, we never had that conversation.
You should have it just to see.
Yeah, could be. Yeah,
maybe it'll make you feel better. Maybe it'll make you feel worse. But
yeah,
interesting to see.
It would be, actually. So anyway, look, that's my perspective on this whole, you know, if your students want to honor you sort of thing, great. Come up to me privately and tell me that you felt that way. That would mean more to me than any sort of public celebration or inclusion in some book like this. So anyway. All right, folks, look, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. And could someone please remind me to unpause the recording when we start the second half of the podcast? Okay, folks, we're away for a break. Thanks so much. All right, folks, we're back from the break. I'm going to piss off the entire panel by throwing out the second part of the podcast that I had sent them in terms of talking points.
Oh, that's never happened before.
I know, right? So we'll do that another time, but there are two questions that came up in the first half that I jotted down, and I really, really want to explore these, and I'm going to go to the one that Bob came up with close to the end of the first half. So here's the question. Has there ever been anything that one of your instructors has said specifically, not just a sense of your instructor, but something that they have said to you specifically that really impacted you and had a serious effect on your perspective on your training? Bob, since you came up with the question, let's go to you first.
Oh, man. As soon as you said it, I was trying to think of stuff. Yeah, well, okay, it was, we'll call a spade a spade. My only influence back then was Mark Bell. I mean, I was influenced by others, other students and other black belts, but I was a naive student who held up the man as the word, and that's fine. That's what you do when you're young. He said to me a couple of things I remember. Let's see. One was in the context. Remember the demo team that we would have?
Oh,
we'd
vividly.
Go up on Saturdays and just for a couple hours just do work on whatever we're working on for that demo at the time. And you know, the body uniform was optional. You could wear a t-shirt and, you know, the gi pants and that's it. And it was what was the question?
Has there been anything that one of your instructors has
said? Oh, that's it, yeah. And during the rehearsals for these demos and stuff, that was a cool... You know, I'll give Mark Bell credit, and I have, and I always will, for his creativity in coming up with demo routines. That was his specialty in life, I think. Like, if there was a Nobel Prize for that, I got to put him up. Like, if this book that we've been talking about had a chapter for demo team, pretty good choreography, Mark Bell would have the bill. And what was I saying again?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
One more time. Come on.
Is there any specific thing an instructor has said to you?
During this...
Holy fuck.
During this demo shit, where Mark Bell would choreograph these demo routines, he would just turn to one of us every now and then and go, hey, that's cool. And like if we suggested something that could happen, like some kind of flip or something, and he'd go, that's cool. And I took that, like I was, what, an orange belt? Yeah, I was an orange belt when we first started our demo teams. I remember that shit. And he would say, yeah, that's cool. I would suggest something, and I remember, of course, the one time he said, yeah, that's cool. And I felt like king shit for a while. And is that the only one? He was very generous in his comments about me. It was always obvious that he thought I was slightly ahead of the curve. And I appreciated that. And that's about it, really. I don't really
ahead
remember
of the
much except
curve.
A consistent sort of a baseline of, yeah, you're doing well, keep going.
Fair enough. Let's go to Lenny.
It was probably something negative that was said once that made me have a reality check once, and it was about, and it probably, highlighted the bullshit and politics that go on, and egos get massaged the higher up the ladder they think they are. And it was a night that four of us had literally sweat blood for our second degree black belt grade, and we were on our fucking knees at the end of it. And I remember the panel was the usual few respectable members, and then the usual guys who need supersized belts to go around their waist. And one of them who was only short of being brought in on a fucking pallet truck to sit down, who he was that big, was when we were, I was standing there like dripping with sweat, bloody nose, bust lip, fucking you name it. And he stood up at the end and he said, right, enough of that bullshit, I'm here to award such and such with a 6 degree for a year served. And he handed him this belt, and I thought, what the fuck is going on here? And that's when I lost all respect for the hierarchy in martial arts and decided to forge my own path, basically.
I'm really glad Lenny told that story, because maybe I should have made this clearer. The impact that could be had on you by this instructor could be positive or negative. So,
well, there you go.
There you go. Exactly.
Every cloud is a silver lining.
Rick, or every silver lining has a cloud. Anyway, yeah, Rick.
Really? I'm probably like Lenny, but the one thing that I remember is again, Sensei Bell, but his comment, he probably said it to me, but I know he said it to a couple of other people, and he'd do something and he'd look at you and he'd say, what style are you practicing? And you go, Chitoru Sensei, no, you're not.
Yeah. My favorite was when he would look at you and go, who taught you that?
Oh, yeah, that was another one. That was another one. So,
that was horrible.
I don't know. I remember more negative comments than, but I always figured, but when I was in class with Sensei, if he didn't say anything to me, I figured I was doing fantastic. So, I don't know. But on the other hand, if he didn't say anything to you, he didn't care about you, so he'd always correct you. But he always corrected you to try and get you better. So
that's another topic. Have we ever done that, Mitch?
Hey, Bob, could you be further from the mic? That'd be great.
Oh, right. Hey, Mitch, should we do another topic like how to teach?
Let's another podcast, but we kind of did one, but that's a good one.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Okay,
anyway. Look, Darren, you're going to go last. I got a weird thing about me going last all the time because, I don't know, it just feels weird. So let me answer this one, then Darren, you'll have the last word. Both of mine are from Mark Bell, and one is kind of neutral and one's very negative. I remember when I was a brand new black belt and we were doing demo practice, and it was a Saturday afternoon, and I don't know who was there, but we were going hard at the demo stuff. And Mark Bell, he stopped the training and he looked at me and he said, if you keep training the way you're training, you're going to be crippled by the time you're 50.
I heard and that one as well.
I remember you telling us that.
Yeah, that was hugely impactful. And I remember at the time thinking, because I'd never thought about it, and it actually made me focus my thought on it. And I had the perspective at the time that, you know what, if that's the price I have to pay for training the way I want to train, I'm absolutely willing to pay that price. And now that I'm 62, I was a fucking idiot, because god damn it if he wasn't right. Like, my knees are fucked and my shoulders are screwed, and it's all because
you went upside down.
Well, no, I'm not gonna blame it on that. But yeah, I should have been afraid of going upside down. That was my problem. But anyway, that was a very impactful statement, because it made me think about how I was training and whether I was willing to continue to train that way. The other one was, it was later in my black belt years, not too many years later, but I remember him pulling me aside one day on a Saturday and saying, never teach your students everything you know.
I hate that.
I hated it too, and I hate it to this day. That's the one that had a negative impact on me, because in my head it was like, that speaks to me of a level of vanity and arrogance that I don't want to have be part of my role as an instructor. My role as an instructor is to make sure that my students are better than I was. And that idea of hold back, don't show them everything. But there's a couple of perspectives on that, or a couple of definitions. Like, I firmly believe, I'm sorry, this is going to take a minute. I firmly believe that the role of an instructor isn't necessarily to lay everything out in front of your students. It's to point them in the right direction and then give them the freedom to explore on their own. And maybe that's what he meant. I don't know. I can interpret it as protect your role as the all-knowing instructor, but I can also interpret it as don't show them everything. Give them the basics and allow them the latitude to explore on their own. And I'm completely...
That's a very generous interpretation.
Maybe, but it's still...
Give them the tools to discover it on their own.
Point them in that direction and then let them go. And I'm honestly not sure which way it was intended. But either way, it impacted me greatly. Hearing that was a... That made me think for a long time. Anyway, Darren, your thoughts.
That was an interesting thing, just what you said there. So it's not so much what the intention was, but it's how you reacted to it or what it did for you going forward. So if it had a positive effect or you saw it in a positive manner, it's almost like giving you the tool to do with it what you will, kind of thing, if you interpret it that way.
Exactly.
I obviously trained in a lot of different places, and I think there's probably loads of things that influenced me over the years. And it's hard to look back and remember what actually made an impact, but this one's interesting. Remember you've talked about once before, a couple times before on the podcast, where the old man came up to you on that one night we were there and said to me, watch out for that guy, or if you're going to do that, blah, blah, blah. When he was talking to you.
Yeah, I remember vividly.
As I was trying to think of what might have influenced me in a longer term, this might have been that same night. And if it wasn't that same night, it was somewhere around there. And I don't know if it was something he was putting together, if it was strategic, or just something he threw out in the spur of the moment. But I think it was that same night, and he came over to me, and he said, see that guy over there? And that was the first time I had met you. And he said, he hasn't been here that long. He's taken it like a fish out of water. You want to watch out for that guy. And I don't remember what went on that night or what happened, but I do remember forever after that, there was one bar that I constantly tried to emulate all the fucking way through. And so if that was one thing that influenced me when he said that, it was like, oh, okay. But just because he said that, like I watched everybody from Rick Doyle to Richie to Bob, even Lenny now. Like, I've watched loads of people over the years that you strive to be as good as, or at least use as an inspiration. But because he said that specifically about you, that locked me into you for the rest of my training to always try to do at least as close as I could to what you were doing.
I have to speak to that. And this also speaks to what an insidious prick Mark Bell can be. Because he did say that to me. He said, see that guy? That's the guy you gotta watch. And I have to... And this comes from a place of absolute honesty. I have always felt intimidated by and overshadowed by Darren. God, I'm going to start crying now.
Even though I'm smaller and less capable.
But I always looked at Darren as this is the guy. Because in a moment, 40 years ago, Mark Bell went, see that guy? That fucking guy. That speaks to the impact that he had on us as an instructor.
Dude, let's make sure we keep separate the impact he has versus the impact that we take on ourselves.
I'm not sure there's much of a difference. I mean, he has the impact because we take it on ourselves, for sure. But it's just interesting to hear Darren say that, because he it wouldn't surprise me, knowing Mark Bell, if it was that same night, because I remember him saying that, and it had exactly the same impact on me. I got to tell you a funny story.
Did he set you guys up against each other?
He may have. Like, that's what he would do.
Right? I don't know if he has the cognitive skills to do that.
It's just how it worked out. God damn it. Anyway, that's hilarious. Okay, anyway, look, we've gone around the table on that one. Just as a cautionary note, and maybe we can talk about our experiences this way. I think on one hand, it's arrogant to think you have so much influence. And on the other hand, it's irresponsible to think that you don't have that much influence.
Yeah, it's humbling.
It's hugely humbling. So look, let's run around the table once. Do you have any experiences that showed you exactly how much impact you have? Was it humbling? Was it like, how did you react to that? So, Lenny, you do this full time, pretty much.
I'm not sure I can answer that one, Mitch, because, oh, Christ. I mean, as I've often said, I'm in a unique position here that I'm in a small enough town that I'm pretty much the only one for miles and miles and miles and miles offering this service. I was very fortunate to have my instructor and the guys who come up under him to are really good martial artists and hard bastards. I mean, I know I came up from the School of Hard Knocks. I mean, you know, and I would hope that the confidence I gained from it has maybe rubbed off on those who come up under me, and the enthusiasm I had for it as well. Other than that, I don't know. I would hope that I give people a passion and enthusiasm for it. It's not just kind of, I'm fucking sick of this, I have to go along to this because my parents said so, you know.
Fair enough, Len, but just to focus the question a little bit.
I missed a point, sorry.
Has there never been a circumstance where you have said something to a student specifically and then necessarily, but later realized exactly how impactful that comment was on a student? Because look, for a long time when I was teaching, I didn't realize how impactful my comments could be on a student. Right. And it was shown to me very vividly how impactful it could be. So I'm just wondering, has there been a circumstance where you've said something, either positive or negative, doesn't matter?
Possibly. I mean, I had one student who, she wanted to go down a different competition path than we were used to, and she eventually, like, with my blessing off, she went, and is still pursuing that path. And I remember saying it in passing to another guy who had come up to black belt at the time, saying, you know, there comes a time where people want to learn new stuff. Everyone gets their time where it's time to fly the nest. And within 3-4 months, he's now gone, and he's training 6 days a week at jiu-jitsu. And I think it was maybe saying that, I think that for him, that was me giving him my blessing to, look, you've gone nearly as far as you, not as far as you can, but you've gone a long journey in this. You've with me 10 years more. And he had a huge interest in looking at other martial arts, and had heard me saying, oh, I wish I'd gone and explored more sooner, and I'd gone to Thailand and this, that, and the other. So I think that influenced, yeah, maybe so. That just encouraged him to take that leap.
But that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest with you,
spread his wings, man. Yeah,
and he's absolutely smashing it in jiu-jitsu, and I'm actually delighted for him.
Nice.
Darren, what are your thoughts on this? Any moments you can remember where you, as an instructor, had a more impactful influence on a student than maybe you were aware of?
Yeah, probably. And I think I've talked about it before. There was one time we had one of the topics, one of the discussions was, say, parents getting involved in the instruction and how you feel about that. But it was when I was running a club out in Victoria, and a kid came up to me one day during the class, and he said, oh, my parents said you're not allowed to call me this or that or the other thing anymore. And at first I was taken aback, and I'm like, well, this is how I teach the class. Your parents have nothing to do with this. This is none of their fucking business. And I took it completely the wrong way. But just as you were bringing the question up now, I realized that I obviously had an impact on the kid because he went and told his parents what I was, and it was just that general thing where you're I guess you're belittling them in a way, but it's in a class, and we all grew up with it, where someone says, like what we said earlier, who taught you that, or what style are you practicing, and it's a way of, I suppose it's demeaning, but it's a way of making you recognize that you're doing it wrong, and you got to put more effort in. So
it's basic training. It's army basic training.
And that's what I thought. I was doing the same thing, but it was obviously having a negative impact on that kid. And in fairness now, that kid was really good, and he did work hard. And that was how I justified my methods, was because I could see the potential in him, and I could see him working hard, and I wanted to continue to bring that out. But it was obviously having a negative impact on him, to the point where he went home and told his parents, and his parents said, well, here, this is just like, you're paying him to do this and that, he shouldn't be doing this, you go tell him that you don't appreciate him calling, something to that effect, which he did, and I took offense to it at the time. But now looking back, I recognized that I was having more of an impact than I thought I was, and I was having the adverse impact as to what I intended. So that it's, looking back at it now, it's a humbling thing to think. You just assume that your instructor, what you're doing is correct. And sometimes it takes someone else to go, look, that's not the best way. Because you don't know unless someone tells you, kind of thing. So it's, yeah.
You got a lot of self-awareness for the martial arts world, my friend.
It's unfortunate almost. Because I've experienced the same thing Darren has. There was a circumstance a few years back where I said something to a young lady who was in the kids class, and I'm not going to bother repeating exactly what it was meant, again, in a jesting sort, like I thought that we were close enough, we'd been training, she'd been at the club for a few years and I'd had a lot of experience with this kid, and I just made an offhanded comment. I thought that our relationship as teacher student had progressed to the point where I could say something like what I said, and she just ran off the floor crying. Mm-hmm. So I had to go, obviously, and sit down and talk to her. But the lesson it taught me was I need to take more of my personality out of how I teach and teach in a factual, neutral way, which I carry with the kids. I carry on to this day. Like I'll joke around with them, and I will say things. I will joke around with them and say things that are intended to be, supportive or to make them laugh. But I will never say anything to a kid in class anymore that might be interpreted, even loosely interpreted, as hurtful or or out of place.
That's kind of a shame.
My grandmother can hit harder than that.
I only say that to the adults. I never say that to the kids. And it's true.
Can you re-quote yourself there, Mitch?
Sorry. Re-quote myself as far as what I said to the kid?
No.
What it taught me was I have to take more of my personality out of how I teach.
Yeah, that's the quote I wanted. And right, yeah. I have to 100% disagree, because it's the personality that makes the instructor. Anybody can just go and teach from a book.
That's a contentious topic, and that's a great topic. Go ahead.
Well, carry on with it.
Yeah,
I interrupted Darren, but I just wanted to say it's a great topic. Please go, Darren. And I'm sorry that I had to interrupt to say that, because I interrupted.
Exactly. Bob just interrupted you to tell you to keep going.
Fuck you. Okay.
Then he interrupted Darren interrupting him, interrupting him again.
Fuck you also. Everybody anyway, fuck go, off.
Anyway, okay, Darren, guys, get a grip. Darren, carry on.
Yeah, I just because it's the personality of the instructor that makes it. And because anybody can learn online or learn from a book or whatever, it's the instructor's personality that whether it's negative or positive, it doesn't matter. And I think we've all agreed that when, especially where we were training before, that there was so many instructors, and every class was different depending on the instructor, and it was because of the instructor's personality. If everybody removed their personality, you'd just be up there doing fucking moves and training. It was because of the instructor.
Wait, sorry, Bob. Let me say one thing, and then and then Bob, it's all yours.
No. I just wanted to put in a little thing, and now I'm standing back and listening. Go ahead.
Darren's right. Look, it's not possible for an instructor to completely remove their personality from how they teach. As much as...
Wrong.
Bob, you're wrong on that one.
Bob's not talking. Mitch is talking.
Right. That's true, too. Sorry.
What are you up to, Lenny?
Look, my point is that as much as I might say I have to remove my personality, I understand it's not possible. I think what I meant was, and I may have misspoken, is that I have to remove a certain aspect of my personality from my teaching.
No, I disagree. I think you just have to watch what you say.
But that's the same. So that's kind of the same thing.
No, it's not. Your personality is still coming through. You just have to word it differently.
Right. I just have to be careful not to allow the sarcastic side of my personality to maybe influence what I say.
You just have to word it differently.
Okay.
That's all it is.
You know what? I think we're kind of arguing the same point.
Mitch, there's a little bit of a story I've got that can even illustrate what he's talking about. We had a student that was she was very close to getting her next rank, and she had grown a lot in the last 6 months that she was that rank she was at. So she's looking, and she's working out, and she's doing the leg lifts, or she was on, and I'm looking down, I'm looking at her belt, and there's like an inch or maybe an inch and a half on each side of the knot. So she has actually gotten a lot bigger, but she's also in a growth spurt. So I says to her, oh, that belt's getting a little small, isn't it? And in my mind, the next thing I said was, we should change the color of that belt, which meant you should take the next grading. In my mind, that's what I said. Apparently, what I said was, we should change that belt. Well, she took that at the end of class, and she just bawled her eyes out because she took it that I was saying she was fat. In no way was she fat. No way at all. But just, I don't know whether I didn't say it or she didn't hear it. I'm not sure what happened. But I meant to say she should take the next grading so that she gets a new belt of a proper size, but I wanted to influence the fact that she took the next grading, which was coming up in a couple of weeks. But just the way I said it was taken totally wrong from the way that I meant it.
And that's a really good story to illustrate my point. When I say I should take my personality out, what I actually mean is I just need to police how I say things.
Yeah. Yes. More. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. And,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So, how you say it is as important as what you say, I think.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Lenny, any thoughts on all this?
I thought I did.
Did you?
Yeah, you did.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Anymore?
So, there are those of us who train exclusively in one martial art, and there are those of us who spread our wings a little bit and go across several martial arts, right? And what I'm curious about is, without bringing personalities into it, do you perceive somebody who trains in multiple martial arts as a more complete martial artist? Is there greater validity as a martial artist in going broad across a number of martial arts, or going deeply into one, I guess, is the way I would phrase the question. Bob, what do you think?
You say go deeply, and I say, what does that mean?
Well, look, if you spend 40 years doing a single martial art, I would like to think that someone who chose that road would study deeply into that one martial art. Look, if I have 30 hours a week to train in the martial arts, if I spread that over three different martial arts, as opposed to spending it all training one martial art, I don't think, or maybe it is, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that I might have a greater understanding of that one than I might have of the other three because of the time spent, right?
Yeah, there's no question about it. Yeah.
So the question is it a greater advantage to go deeply into one or spread yourself a little thinner and study different martial arts? I'm just curious.
Who are you asking?
You.
Okay. there are arguments to be made for both sides. you know what? I when you say that, I think of the default position that most higher level martial artists take, which is if what was the question?
Oh God.
I'm serious. Quick, what's the question?
The question was, is there more validity to studying a single martial art as opposed to multiple martial arts?
No. Like, and yes. Yes and no. Either one, you do whatever the fuck you want. No, okay, no. It's ridiculous. It depends on
can
what
I go?
What,
yeah,
what
please, Darren.
Is. Yes, go.
As someone who can speak coherently. Darren, go.
Yeah, fuck okay. you. I can speak enough.
I think that's a fucking whole topic as opposed to just a quick question to go around. Two different things. Yeah. It depends on what you're trying to achieve and what the goals are. I've always been interested in different arts, and that's why I do it. But then there's a part of me where everywhere I go, I'm just average or just below because I haven't spent enough time in that art. So I always feel like I wish I had just stuck with one and been proficient at that as opposed to being average at everything. But for me, it was an interest thing, so that's why you did it. But I think there's a definite advantage to delving deeply into one art and being proficient at that, especially if your goal is just that. I mean, you're never going to be prepared for everything. So if you think you can dabble in grappling and dabble in stand-up and dabble in Muay Thai and then get in a fight and win it because you're well-rounded, well, as soon as you come up with someone that's just a wrestler, unless you're so quick to defend that first takedown, you are fucked. So I don't think there's a huge advantage to being well-rounded, because if somebody is so good at what they do and they catch you at that, you're still going to be fucked. So if you're putting it in practical terms, I personally don't believe there's any advantage to being well-rounded. I think it's much better to concentrate
on the definition of being well-rounded.
I know that. I know, and I've contradicted myself in this topic over and over, and I've grappled with myself on the issue, but that's
grappling
what I believe
with yourself,
now.
I'd love to see that.
I'll show you.
You know what? I almost regret asking the question, because Darren's right. This is an entire podcast. Which
yeah, I gotta say, I gotta struggle to answer that one. It's far too
comprehensive. Yeah, I know. We're in the last couple of minutes of this one, so if you want to just give your overall impressions, we're definitely doing a whole podcast about this particular topic. So, so Rick, what do you think? One versus many. What are your thoughts?
Well, seeing as how I've ever only practiced one style, I'd say you got to practice one style.
Okay, but okay, Rick,
I just got one more thing to say. Sorry, and I meant to say it.
No, go ahead, Darren.
It depends on what the style is, because some styles do incorporate a lot more. Do you know what I mean? Like our club incorporated a lot more than just Chidori Karate.
We incorporated a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so when you say a style, it still would depend on the club and the instructor and the other practitioners.
That being said, Darren, I do wish that I had taken at least something else, because
was the question I wanted to ask, Rick. Was do you ever regret not having spread your wings a little bit?
Yes. But it wouldn't have been with jiu-jitsu or anything else. It would have been something like aikido, maybe archery, or some other of the martial debauchery? Arts. But debauchery,
Kyoto.
I could practice.
Kyoto.
Yeah. Kyoto, maybe. But I wouldn't want to get into MMA or jiu-jitsu or anything of those. But the other ones that did intrigue me, but I just never got around to getting to them.
Hmm. Lenny, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and you're speaking to somebody who had that kind of epiphany a few years ago. I think a lot of it is time dependent. How early you start your journey and how long you're going to dedicate to become what may be deemed as really proficient at something. And then the sands of time may run out against you. You're never going to get that opportunity to be that good. So to answer it definitively, it all depends on when you start and how much time you have to play with, really, I think.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. That's a definite one.
Yeah, so, and that will dictate what kind of answer. Well, is it better to be well-rounded if you start in your 50s? Yeah. Or is it better to be well-rounded because you started at 10 years of age and you just give 10 years to 15 years to karate and 15 years to Muay Thai and 15 years to judo, and you're still only middle-aged at that stage, so you're well-rounded but you're very good at all of them, whereas if you start later in life it's much harder.
See, that's another question too. How many martial arts do you have to take before you can be considered well-rounded? Like, there's so many complexities.
Practicality into it, right?
Well, actually, you're not necessarily. It's part of the conversation for sure. But look, someone who just loves to learn, you can take 10 martial arts because you just love the notion of learning. Doesn't matter how good you are or how good you get at any of them.
Wait. It doesn't matter how good you get.
If your joy is derived from learning new things, how much of that joy is dependent on you being the best at what you learn?
Okay, now let's compare that frame of reference from the one that you gave us an hour ago, where how well you do at something is the entire reason you should look at your own self-esteem and determine whether you're worthy of whatever the frig's going on in your mind about how well you do your technique. Dude, I'm a little worried about you, to be perfectly
I'm a little
frank.
Worried about that sentence.
So am I.
Go.
Go? I didn't even understand what you said.
What was wrong
anyway,
with
look,
it? Like,
my point is that whether one versus many matters is determined by your goals for training.
Yeah, nobody's disputing this.
You kind of just did, though. All right, anyway.
What did I say?
No, man. It's not my job to remember what you said. Oh, let's go around. Okay, guys, we're going to go around the table once. It got a little disjointed there near the end, but let's go around the table once. Any last comments on anything we've talked about tonight, and we'll bring this one to a close. Bob, you go first. Any thoughts?
Oh man,
any thoughts about what we've talked?
Least capable of providing any thoughts because it's been an okay episode, but just not something that's controversial in my eyes. It was like, okay, yeah. And okay, yeah, that's kind of how it went today for me.
Fair enough. Rick, last thoughts.
Yeah, it's been a good evening. It was a great little talk. As far as last words, I do regret not taking at least one other type of martial arts to get, you know, maybe get a an orange belt, even a yellow or an orange belt in it, just to take it enough to start knowing the basics. And Lenny, when I was in my 50s, I'm really jealous that I didn't do what you do and go and do it and just, you know, say, screw it. I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Thailand and I'm going to go do this shit. I really admire you for doing that, man.
Cheers, dude. Well, I have to say, I got to give kudos to Jason for the kick in the ass to actually do it, because he was the one that made the step first and banged on about it so much. I went, fuck it, yeah.
Excellent.
I'm interested.
Excellent. Good for Jason and you. Yeah. Good for you too, man.
So
okay, Len, since you're talking, last thoughts before we close this
one. Yeah, look, it's interesting to see how we all feel at the very start of the podcast about the whole recognition versus self-adulation versus, you know, how we'd all handle it, and I suppose that just shows what kind of individuals we are. But that being said, it opened up a few questions that we realized, holy shit, these are far too intricate for us to try and solve in the second half of a podcast. They're probably going to go on and on and on. And I'm actually looking forward to how we'll tackle them going forward.
Darren, last thoughts, my friend.
Just quick, real quick. I like that phrase that Lenny said, self-adulation. It's a big difference between whether you want it in there because somebody thinks you should be in there or because you have that self-adulation and you want to be in there.
It's, oh, okay.
It's a huge difference.
Just opened up a whole new can of worms.
Oh, I know.
Just write it down, Mitch. Write it down.
Yeah, there you go. Kidding.
I'm not going there. For myself, look, I think out of all the disjointed conversation and the 15 topics we talked about, I think the greatest point that I want to make as a result of this podcast is the cautionary tale to instructors to be very careful about how you say things, especially to kids. I think kids are extremely impressionable. And especially in a martial arts environment, I think we kind of forget sometimes the impact that this sort of militaristic structure that we teach under, we forget the impact it has on kids. And I've been reminded a few times painfully about that impact. So if anyone listening to this podcast takes anything away from it, please let it be to, I'm not saying coddle the kids. That's not what I mean. What I am saying is be careful how you communicate what you're trying to say to the kids, because kids especially will take it to heart. They will absorb it and hold it close more than adults will, I think. And I think that's part of the responsibility of being a good teacher is, of course, you inject your own personality into what you do, but you also are the caretaker of the emotional well-being of the kids you're teaching. So I'll just leave it at that. All right, folks, we're going to bring this into an end. I'm sorry, Darren, are you there?
Am I in?
Oh, you are. Great. Hang on one sec.
Turn them up.
I'm turning them up. Hold on. All right, Darren, say something.
No idea what happened.
Doesn't matter. Darren, last thoughts. We're closing it out. Last thoughts.
Yeah, when the other people were giving last thoughts, it almost seemed like each last thought was an opening for another podcast, even by just saying the last thoughts. But the only thing I would like to touch on is aside from enjoying this immensely and all the different topics and the way it went, just what Richie was saying about he wished he had done something before. The age thing, like you're traveling now, like you came over to Ireland, you were hovering around like that, you still go up to the club. It's not a matter of going to, like, let's say, take Thailand for interest. For hypothetically speaking, it's not a matter of going to Thailand and having to participate, going hardcore and being able to do the things that you did back when you were 20. It's just going there out of interest.
Yeah,
there's no reason why you can't go anywhere and learn something new. Are you going to perform it? Is it going to be practical? Even just to go for a week in Thailand, you're not going to come back and be a Muay Thai fighter. That's not the purpose of it. It's just to go learn and be entertained, and there's no reason why you can't do that. Like, I can't go to Thailand and expect to do fuck all. Like, I'm old and decrepit, but I'd still like to go just to be part of it and just to learn whatever you can in that instance. So yeah. I wouldn't be sitting there going, I wish I could have done that, or I wish I had done it. There's absolutely no reason why you couldn't still do it. You don't have to go upside down.
No, there's none of that.
No kidding. All right, folks. Look, we're going to bring this one to a close. It's been an eventful night. Thanks to the panel for being here, guys. Appreciate it as always. Again, it's the No Mind Podcast. Comments or questions to the No Mind Podcast Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, or an email to nomindpodcast2021@gmail.com. We'll see you next time around, folks. Thanks, guys. We're done.
Am I the only one worried about Mitch?
Yeah, well, we got to worry about him. He must be still there because we're hearing each other yet.
Hello, Mitch. Hello, Mitch.
He's writing down his nomination.
Get up off the floor.
He's filling out the form.
Mitch.
911. Use your nose if you can't use your limbs. 911.
Don't move towards the light. Stay away from the light.
Yeah, stay away from the light.
Yeah, come back to the darkness where we are.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes.
There he is.
He has risen. He has risen.